Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello everyone and welcome to a new episode of Gaming in the Wild, a video games podcast about games from the artistic, creative side of the tracks, from indie to AAA. My name's John, I'm your host, I'm recording in Reykjavik, Iceland as always, on a kind of grey, dour, sort of summer day. But I hope that there's a real summer going on wherever you are. And it is definitely summer in Gameland. The Keighley Summer Circus is in town. We've had a lot of showcases this week, we've had Summer Game Fest yesterday, we had Day of the Devs, and we had the Devolver Showcase. It was a crazy amount of games to look at, actually. I felt like there was about 100 plus, and it was about 3.5 hours long in total. I missed it live, but I know a lot of people in the Discord were watching it. There was some really interesting stuff in there, actually. I caught up this morning, scrubbed through it a little bit, skipped some stuff that wasn't for me, but there was a lot of stuff that was for me, so I've listed it all out, and I've got a whole bunch of games to talk about, and I think that that's going to be the featured item of the day. It's going to be a newsy featured thing this week. Loads of new games to talk about, so that will be at the end of the show after the break. I've also been playing a bit of stuff, though. I played some Tiny Terry's Turbo Trip. Sorry, that's a bit of a tongue twister. So I'm going to give a little capsule review of that, but I thought I would start off with a mention of Nine Sols. This has been my main game for the last week. I'm 5 hours in now, and I'm having a great time with it. This is the hand-drawn 2D Tau Punk action platformer by Red Candle Games. Came out on May 29th on Steam only. It's really good. It's really good. I've been loving this game. It has beautiful, beautiful artwork. It has a Sekiro-like parry combat with exploding finishes that feel very satisfying. You get to feel like a samurai genius in this game. You can dodge through enemies. They throw different combinations at you. There's a lot of tight, tough platforming as well. And it's a tough game, no question. But I found Nine Sols to be the right kind of difficult, I think. It has really snappy, precise controls, both in combat and platforming. And it made me realize that actually I think difficulty is fine when you as the player feel in harmony with the controls of a game, right? So in Nine Sols, I felt like everything was very snappy, and it was all under my control, and that mastery was possible given the control scheme. So every fall or death that I've had in the game, and there have been a few, have all felt earned, and that stopped me from feeling frustrated with it. So it's a difficult game with a low frustration level, and there's just loads going on in it. It has a really interesting sci-fi story that really goes places. There are secrets to find, there are light Metroidvania elements, you get different skills, like a little drone that you can send out to trigger buttons in the scenery and stuff like that. I've done a couple of boss fights now, and they're really intense, pulse-racing boss fights with really spectacular, you know, bosses with phases and different attacks and stuff. It also has a story difficulty level, which I have employed, I will admit, and that feels about right for me. So shout out to the devs for that inclusion. That's so helpful. I think that I would like to try the full difficulty once I'm completely keyed in to all of the combat moves and stuff. I'll probably go back and give that a try. It would probably slow down progress a lot. I think there would be a lot more deaths on base difficulty, but I'm really glad that they included the story difficulty. I'm going to leave my thoughts on this one here and hopefully give it a full review in a couple of episodes once I've completed the game and seen where it goes fully. But it's out now, so check out Nine Sols on Steam. It's a perfect game for a Steam Deck, I would say. So if you're a Steam Deck player who likes action platformers, Metroidvanias, Souls-likes even, and you have an eye for art styles, then check it out. That's Nine Sols. I've I've also been playing Tiny Terry's Turbo Trip, and I got the name out that time. A really nice little game, actually. It's a light-hearted, mini-open world with a very simple, low-poly-ish art style, lots of blocked-in colours, and cartoony people who have, like, Mr. Potato Head phases that are all wonky and weird. And in this game, you play as Terry. He's a little blobby blue guy who has only one mission in mind, to find a car and to drive it to the moon. There is a spaceport in his town, which you can apparently drive on, but first you need a car. And so the first quest in the game is to go and get a car. The intro is you having a very amusing job interview where Terry goes to get a job as a taxi driver or any job that will give him a car. He never has any intention of actually picking anyone up or doing any work. He just wants a car, but you do get it and off you go. The mini open world is really fun. It's got little sections around the town that you can drive around. You can hop out wherever you like, go talk to people, run around. There's a collectathon element to it. So you're digging stuff up. You're collecting junk that will improve your taxi. You're smashing up boxes to get money. So the moment-to-moment is actually really nice. There's lots to do, lots to pick up. If you like collectathon platformers, you'll have a good time with this one. And that all suggests that this would be a game that I would be really on board with. It does have a short hike influence, and I love a chill collectathon. But I did have a couple of issues with this one, actually. One of them is the camera. I would call the camera in this game unresolved, I would say. It kind of clips through scenery a lot. It follows you slightly strangely. I found it quite constantly distracting as it was clipping through characters, and it follows you just oddly. It's the same in the cutscenes, actually. They are bananas. The direction of these cutscenes is like nothing that I've seen. The camera angles are like extreme. They are off horizon. They are from strange parts of the room. It's like drunk Alfred Hitchcock directed all the cutscenes in this game or something. And while it is fun and funny to play as well, the driving has felt a little bit off to me too. The car has a very wide turning arc. So you can't exactly just spin on the spot, go in a different direction. So I find myself always bopping into stuff, bopping into other cars, bopping into scenery, and having to do like 7-point turns to try and get back on track, which does have a slapstick quality. I mean, Terry is obviously not going to be a good driver, but it was actually just frustrating to do though. So whilst it is funny and almost in tune with the vibe of the whole game, it was not that fun to play. So it's a strange combination, this one, of like being a light-hearted, playful slapstick kind of game, and all of the wonky controls and cameras and stuff kind of fit with that, but at the same time I got a feeling that maybe it was masking a lack of polish in some way. I felt like many aspects of the game needed a little more refinement than we see here. The actual platforming, you can get stuck in scenery quite easily, and there is an option in the menu to just get Terry out and go back to your last save point, which I had to use several times. As I've mentioned, the driving was a bit wonky. The economy seems kind of skewed, like you have loads of one currency straight away and the other one is harder to come by. And the story delivery was a bit odd and pacing was a bit odd. So I found it all a bit strange and uncomfortable to play whilst appreciating the lightheartedness of it. I will say that if you buy into the shtick of this game, I think you'll have a great time with it. I was listening to the No Clip podcast, on which Jesse Garasha had really fallen in love with this game and played through to credits in 4 hours. So it's a short game too. So there's clearly some fun to be had here, but I had some reservations with it. I might come back to it and see if it feels different on a different day. It's one of those kind of games. But if you're interested, it's out now on Steam. That's Tiny Terry's Turbo Trip. I also have a few thank yous. I'd like to say a big thank you to the show's latest patrons, Josh, Marla, Che and Torvi, all of who signed up in the last week, and of course Mike Sampier, the first boss tier patron. They all get access to the podcast Discord and a whole load of perks. If you'd like to find out more about supporting this podcast, there is a link in the show notes. It's patreon.com/gamingintheWild. And just before we get to the showcases, I'd like to tell you about one of the podcast's biggest supporters, Magic Mind. It's a mental performance shot with a lot of interesting ingredients. They reached out to tell me about what they're making, and I actually found it pretty fascinating. So they sent a box of shots my way to try. And it was definitely the ingredients list that first caught my attention. It contains a lot of really interesting stuff, all condensed into a shot that you take in the morning. It contains matcha tea, which I'm obsessed with, and a whole bunch of other interesting stuff too, like lion's mane mushrooms, which friends of mine have mentioned before that they use to help with concentration, like ashwagandha, an Asian plant that's used to help with stress and anxiety, cordyceps mushrooms, known for helping with immune support and mental energy, and a whole host of other stuff like turmeric and vitamins B, C, and D3. And I tried out the shots over 2 weeks, and I genuinely did find myself drifting into periods of deep concentration in a way that felt unusual and good. If you would like to find out more and try out Magic Mind yourself, you can go to magicmind.com. There is a lot of information there on the ingredients. It's been a long time in development and they've done the work, they've done the research. If you have questions about the ingredients and the efficacy of them, there's a lot of info on the site as well as a shop to buy it and try it out, which I genuinely recommend, sponsorship aside, honestly. So once again, thanks very much to Magic Mind for sponsoring the show, and it's magicmind.com. If you feel intrigued to find out more, or if you want to support the podcast's first ever sponsor. And with that, let's get on with the show. So this week's video game industry festivities, I guess you could call them, kicked off yesterday as I'm recording this on the 7th of June. I believe it's in LA at the YouTube Theater. It's like a big flashy theater with like lots of lighting, a nice glossy stage, and a big crowd that was pretty vocal as the presentation was unfolding, like cheering the games they liked and being pointedly silent at other times, let's say. We got Jeff Keighley up on the stage, being his usual slightly weird self. He did start with a speech about layoffs. He talked about how important indie games are, and then launched immediately, somewhat hilariously, into a trailer for LEGO Horizon, which is like a very certain type of extremely not indie. But there were a lot of indie games in the showcase, and it was good that he at least brought up layoffs, even if it was like in a little bit of a light way. I would say it was a kind of a muted crowd this time around. It is a big event, a big glossy event, but it was kind of a quiet show in some ways. I don't think there were any huge headline reveals in the greatest scheme of things. And I found myself focusing in on Jeff's delivery with every announcement. It was kind of interesting. There were some things that he knew would get applause, and he looked confident and loose when he was announcing them, like the Alan Wake 2 DLC. When he welcomed Sam Lake onto the stage, he just looked so happy, and the crowd lit up, of course. But there were loads of things that he was less sure about. And I noticed that he was doing this like hopeful grin after announcing them. It had a Jeb Bush please clap vibes. This was reserved for things like The Finals and The First Descendant and these big games that maybe don't have so much of an audience. But I found myself playing a little game of judging what kind of announcement was coming from Jeff's demeanor, a little sub game there. I almost felt sorry for him at some moments, actually, like Sam Lake obviously was a huge one, and then there were some medium ones, and there was one fake out where he announced Batman Arkham and the crowd sort of lit up, and then he said exclusive to Quest 3, and the crowd immediately went dead silent, like pin drop silent. It was painful to watch. But there were 57 games announced in total. That's a lot of stuff that's not for me, you know, a lot of multiplayer FPSs and Souls-likes and so forth. But there was some really good stuff here. So I pulled out the six that appealed to me most. The first one was Cairn. This is developed by the Game Bakers, who made Fury, the boss rush game that I quite liked, and Haven. They're back with Cairn, and it's our first Jusant-like, I would say, coincidentally by another French studio. As Zibi remarked over in the Discord, I'm loving this French climbing era we are in. So it seems like we're entering an era of French climbing games. This one is a little different to Jusant, but pretty similar. We're scaling a surface, we're using pitons, we're using ropes, we've got some endurance. It looks a little harder. I think Jusant was actually quite forgiving. When you fall, you don't fall far, and there are little puzzles involved in climbing. This game looked a little more challenging. We saw some quite big drops where the climber fell quite a long way and then had to climb back up. And they didn't mind voicing their frustration, the character. It seemed like the character in this game was constantly screaming. I think they put a bit too much screaming into the trailer. It was a little much. But it does look really interesting. I am interested in a climbing game. I love traversal games generally, you know, like the Death Stranding style of just finding your way across terrain. If the mechanics are engaging, I love it. I find it really zen-like climbing. So that's definitely one that I'll be interested in following. That was Cairn. The second game that popped for me was Neva, or Neva, not quite sure yet. It's developed by Nomada, the developers behind Grease. It's published by Devolver. It's the second game from the makers of Grease, and it's another game that is absolutely gorgeous to look at. We've seen one cutscene from it before, which is just gorgeous. It's like a Studio Ghibli sort of look to it. And this game has a similar art style. It has a similar flowing pen and ink style with a painterly look to it. But this was our first sight of gameplay. I've been dying to see what this game plays like after that beautiful reveal trailer. And it looks like there's a bit more to it than Grease this time. You have a wolf companion in this game who it looks like starts off pretty young, grows throughout the game, grows older and bigger. And it looks like they can help you do things. So there's some platforming. And when the wolf cub is younger and smaller, it looked like you have to help them sometimes to cross difficult gaps and so forth, or to call them, or to have them do something for you, like a little game friend, like a lot of games have, like Planet of Lana style. And vice versa sometimes, like the wolf can also help you if you call them. I guess there are going to be puzzles that you do together. So a single-player co-op kind of vibe, like when you do a solo run of a game like Brothers, where you're controlling both of the brothers yourself, one on each stick. Maybe not quite to that extent, but similar in vibe. And we also saw some combat, which was really interesting. And I was very curious if this game would have combat. And it was interesting to see. It looked kind of basic, you know? There was some jumping, swiping, a three-hit combo that your character is doing. And the wolf looked more involved here. I don't think that the player is controlling the wolf in combat when it's a bit bigger and older, presumably later in the story. It seemed to be doing its own thing and, like, pouncing on enemies. It did look like maybe the character can wave it forward to attack first and then follow up with their sword. So some maybe solo player co-op vibes in the combat as well. It did also look like there was some impressive big bosses and finishers, like joint finishers with your wolf companion. So I'm very excited about that one. The game itself just looks divine. The world looks beautiful. The animation is gorgeous. We didn't get a release date for it, but they reaffirmed that it's coming out later this year with a 2024 slate at the end. Really looking forward to playing that one. That's Neva. There was also a showcase by Outer Sloth. This is a new publisher from Inner Sloth, makers of Among Us. And the one that caught my eye is by Trinket Studios, and it's called Battlesuit Aces. It's a sci-fi card game. And the reason that I honed in on this one is that Trinket Studios are the makers of Battle Chef Brigade, a perennially underrated combat and cooking and visual novel mashup that I really, really liked. If you haven't tried Battle Chef Brigade, I really recommend it, especially on Switch where I played it, a really nice handheld game. So it was really nice to see what Trinket are up to. This was clearly very early stages. We didn't get a lot from it. We got panning shots on still images rather than cutscene, and we got what looked like to me a mock-up of gameplay rather than actual gameplay. So perhaps they were kind of rushed into showing the game to be part of the Outer Sloth publisher announcement. But I trust Trinket, and we saw some basic mechanics like playing cards doing damage to opponents. Your cards are at the bottom, other cards are at the top. When you play them, there were some nice effects, like if you're playing like a ship or a character or something, then there were lasers that will fly out of your card, go and hit the other cards. A little bit like in Marvel Snap, so you get that satisfying feedback of playing cards. But that's really all that we had to go on. Nevertheless, very excited to see what Trinket is doing next. That's Battlesuit Aces. Something that Devolver actually teased before the Summer Games Fest kicked off was that they are working with Heart Machine. They posted a really intriguing looking teaser trailer that just had a piece of concept art, the Heart Machine logo and the Devolver logo. And we got to see what that is. It's a game called Possessors with the S in brackets at the end there. It's coming out in 2025, and it turned out that it's a stylish 2D action platformer. Something that we haven't seen from Heart Machine before. I mean, obviously, Hyperlight Drifter was top-down, Solar Ash and Hyperlight Breaker are third-person 3D. This one's a 2D side-scroller, so here we go. We got a little bit of gameplay, and we saw some combat. We saw the protagonist slashing enemies in a sci-fi world. As usual, you know, like a bleak-feeling, juicy, deep-coloured, expressive sci-fi world, the kind of thing that Heart Machine nails so well. And we saw the character ground sliding past obstacles, grappling and falling to platform and get from place to place. I have to say it looked a little bit basic to me, this one. Like nothing on the screen was really screaming to me what is unique about this game. But it is Heart Machine. So the signature aesthetic is the best thing about it I could see. It has this, I don't know how to describe their aesthetic exactly. It's like a futuristic sadness, like slightly cyberpunk. And very melancholic, and they've really got that nailed down. So curious to see more of this one. That's Possessors, coming out in 2025. And another big surprise to me was Wonderstop. I think this was a surprise to everyone. It's developed by Ivy Road, a developer that we haven't heard of before, at least I haven't. And that is Davey Redden, I think you pronounce it, or at least that's how Keely pronounced it. I've been saying Redden my whole life, but you might know the name Davey Redden as the creator of Stanley Parable and The Beginner's Guide, to really seminal, weird indie games. Also on the team is Carla Zimonia, co-creator of Gone Home. This one's going to be published by Annapurna Interactive. And this was one of the more interesting trailers of the day to me, because Davey Reedon is all about subverting genre and subverting expectations. It looks like here he's taking that into the wholesome type game world. So this is a game set in a tea shop. It looks ostensibly like a cozy game, where you're going to be farming tea leaves, harvesting plants, serving customers in this fantasy tea house deep in a forest. You'll be cleaning up after them and doing like cozy game tasks, just pottering, basically, the kind of thing that people find really soothing. So there's lots of that kind of gameplay. But then there was a scene where the main character goes to sit on a bench in the forest in seclusion. They closed their eyes and the camera slowly zoomed in on their face. And they delivered a pretty startling internal monologue where they start off talking about how happy they are, how everything's fine, and how satisfied they are to be in this world. But then they start having flashes in their mind of their past because they are a warrior who has been somewhat detained here. And we find out that they have a bit of a seething frustration that plays out through the monologue where they start saying, like, I have to leave. I have more to do. This can't be all there is for me. And it's bubbling up inside of them like rage. And at that moment, one of the cute tea house NPCs taps them on the shoulder, their eyes open, and they're back in this cloyingly cute world, which suddenly seems cloying by being contrasted against that monologue. Very clever stuff. So it's a game that seems to be taking a shot at the anodyne, frictionless blandness of cozy games that is part of their appeal. People like that they have no edge. But here, that's been contrasted against some darker psychology. Very Davey Reddin move. I'm very much here for it, and I'm dying to know more. I absolutely trust that developer. It's going to be interesting for sure. So straight to the top of the list for me, that's Wonderstop. We also got a bit of a nothingy trailer for Black Myth Wukong, the stylish action game that we've been seeing a lot of over the last couple of years. There was not much in the trailer. It just zoomed in on the protagonist. I guess it was meant as a protagonist reveal, but I think that they maybe overestimated how interesting that is to us all. It's like a Planet of the Apes type guy, it turns out, in armor, and they just lingered on the face and then announced the release date. So it's coming out in August. Let's see. August 20th, so a nothingy trailer for a quite interesting game. I think the jury is very much out on this game, but it did have some Shadow of the Colossus vibes when we saw it last summer. So I think some people are interested in that one. So we know it's coming out now, August 20th for Black Myth Wukong. And the final game that I've got here from Summer Game Fest, or at least the initial presentation, was Project C, which is maybe the most non-announcement game announcement that I've ever seen. It contained so little info, no art, not even a name. Project C is clearly a code name. So it was one of the ones that was folded into one of those new publisher showcases where they are clearly just desperate to get their games in there to launch their publisher without there even being a game. So we saw nothing of Project C except the code name and the developers involved, but it turns out that those names were enough for me to pay attention and enough for me to highlight it in the show, because the makers of this game are Sam Barlow, the FMV auteur behind Her Story, Telling Lies, and Gaming in the Wild Game of the Year, Immortality. And he is going to be working this time with filmmaker Brandon Cronenberg, son of David Cronenberg. So that's a very interesting partnership. I don't think Sam Barlow has worked with a name director before. So that's a very interesting turn of events. We only got a tiny description of the game. The concept is described as twisted and heartbreaking. I think it's safe to assume this is going to be another FMV game or film-based narrative game. No idea what it's going to be other than that. Clearly a long way off, but count me in basically on whatever Project C turns out to be. And with that, we moved on to Day of the Devs. This is a real change of gear in terms of the vibe of these presentations. Keely is so big, glossy, shiny, money, Hollywood. And then we go to Day of the Devs. It's made by Double Fine. They're very famous because of all of their documentaries and their transparency of process indie game developer. Day of the Devs is their indie showcase, or at least was. I believe they've handed it off to like a governing body now who takes applications, who scouts games, and puts together a really cool indie showcase. But Double Fine's still involved. We got to see Tim Schafer doing his thing and goofing around, and some faces from Double Fine introducing the games. I think that Day of the Devs is the best showcase format that I've seen. It's very well put together, and it's very well conceived. It's about the developers and the games, and you feel that. So each developer explains their game in a short sort of pitch slash documentary style. We see them talking to camera. We see them in workspaces. There's always a very clear pitch of what the game is. We always see plenty of gameplay. And we sometimes get glimpses of interesting stuff like process, early prototypes, problems, things like that. There's a little bit of humanity in Day of the Devs that is lacking in the slickness of Summer Game Fest. I think Jeff could take notes from this, man. And I didn't know this, but it's actually free for devs to participate in Day of the Devs, whereas it costs apparently between $250,000 and $750,000 to participate in Summer Games Fest. So great that it's free for the developers to participate. It's also free for anyone that goes on site. It's funded by big name sponsors and individual donations at dayofthedevs.com. Just amazing stuff all around. I love this showcase. It started with a shadow drop of a game that I believe was in Day of the Devs last year called Simpler Times by Stone Skip. It's like the opposite of unpacking this game. It's like packing. It's a game that could be called packing. You're packing up your childhood bedroom. And as you do so, you can look at objects that trigger memories. You can turn them around in your hands. It's got a patient, purposeful, nostalgic, emotional vibe to it. Like turning around the objects, looking at them, experiencing those memories. It looks like a really chill time. I have been interested in this one, so I'm going to try and check it out. It's out now on Steam. That was Simpler Times, a nice start to the showcase. We also saw, I don't know how to pronounce this one, Koira, I want to say, K-O-I-R-A, developed by Studio Tolina, published by Don't Nod. Interesting to have a game published by Don't Nod in here. I think the games that are in Day of the Devs often don't have a big name publisher, so that's interesting to me. It's a cute little game. It is illustrated. It has an inky, stylized look with dancing scenery and nice sprites. You play as a little black humanoid creature who's wearing like an A-line dress with a big round head, little cat ears and cute eyes. And at the start of this one, you rescue a puppy who has been caught in a trap and is strung up. So you get them down. The puppy then continues with you on your journey. It's a top-down game. Very nice art style. A little bit in the realm of Crypt Custodian, if you've seen that one. I was going to say Custard Custodian, which is a whole different idea. But I like the look of this one. Top-down game, a little journey. Another little game where you have a little friend. I always love having a little friend in a game. You know, in Hyperlight Drifter, how you had a little robot that flies around with you, and it locks on to points of interest in the scenery, and so actually had great utility too. And in Star Trek Survivor, you had a little robot pal. I always love that. So in this game, your little pal is a cute puppy who is also black and has a little red tongue. You walk around together. It looked like there was some mini-game stuff. There were some puzzles. The puppy was helping you out. You were helping the puppy out. There was a little bit where they were both skiing down a slope together. It looks really cute. No release date. It's had wishlist now, and a demo is coming in the summer. So that's Koira. Next on the list is Arranger, a role-playing puzzle game. Interesting one. It has a top-down perspective. Zelda vibes, I would say, in the camera. But the movement is interesting in this one, because every time you move, it turns out that the ground is a giant sliding tile puzzle. So the world changes as you move. You move things around. If you move left, then maybe the tree that is next to you also moves left, so you're unblocking or putting things together to open ways forward. Movement itself becomes a puzzle. Interesting idea. Like Kato meets Zelda meets like Crypt of the Necrodancer or something like that, where movement is a big part of what happens in the game. That was Arranger, a role-playing puzzle game. Another one with a clever central mechanic was Screenbound by Crescent Moon and Those Dang Games. It's another high-concept game. It's a platformer this time. But you're kind of dual-wielding platform games as you play this one. You're exploring a 3D world whilst holding a Game Boy-style handheld in front of you in-game. So you're looking at a screen, and there's a screen inside the game. And whenever you move or jump, it happens both in-world, so you see the world spinning around you in a first-person style, but also on the little screen on the handheld, your character is also moving in there, left to right, jumping, etc. So you're playing two games at once. It's a very cool idea. It reminded me of the mobile game Two Cars in the you know, two sides of your brain at the same time. In that game, you control two cars at once, and if you tap on the left, One of them swerves. If you tap on the right, the other one swerves, and you have to control them both at the same time to avoid obstacles. It's really, really cool. It stretched my brain in a way that I really liked. The Screenbound devs described this one as a game about being distracted, but totally in control. So count me in for that one. That's Screenbound. We also got a little look at Psychroma, an interesting game by Rocket Adrift. It's a pixel art side-on cyberpunk adventure game, and we have an amnesiac protagonist who is struggling to grapple with their identity, with their memory or lack of, and their self and who they are in this world. They have friends around them. It's conversational based, it looks like, but there was a horror element to this one too. I think psychological horror, perhaps the idea of losing yourself in your own mind is central to the appeal of this one. I really like the crunchy pixel graphics. I like that it seemed to include future technology and some supernatural elements too. That could be hallucinations or creatures, who knows, some kind of ghost in the machine stuff. Looks really interesting. That's Psychroma. One of the funniest games in the showcase was called Building Relationships. Day of the Dad Jokes, title that one. Because it's about buildings. You play as a building and you go on dates with other buildings. So you're building relationships. Luckily, the dev was very, very charismatic and pulled that joke off. They called this game A Short Hike But Stupid. Really, really funny take. And the house that you play as rolls around in a really clumsy, cumbersome, blocky kind of way. Goes on dates with buildings of different types. It looks odd, it looks funny, it looks janky, but the developer was so, so funny, they were so charming, they really sold the idea. At the end of the trailer, they said, "What am I doing with my life?" and just walked off camera as they were taking the mic off. I'm curious to see what that one comes out like. That's Building Relationships. The next game on here made me physically twitch with discomfort when it came onto the screen, so I'm mentioning it. A Little to the Left is getting a DLC, and perhaps the most infuriating game I've ever played. It's a game about arranging and pattern matching, putting things in size order, matching patterns on different glasses, and it's based around the idea of satisfying, tidying, and sorting, which very much appeals to my mind. But some of the patterns in this game, when I played the base game, were so obscure, so random, so hard to spot, they actually had the opposite effect on me. It was like weirdly distressing to need to tidy up what's on screen, but to not see how to do it, or to have your attempts repeatedly rebuffed. So I twitched physically when it came onto the screen, but hey, for fans of A Little to the Left, there's going to be more of it for you. We also saw some more of Afterlove EP. This one's published by Fellow Traveller, so it was in the recent Ludo Narracon. It's by the team who made Coffee Talk and also some people who made A Space for the Unbound, so Indonesian-based studios, and a team that formed just for this project. Unfortunately, the writer of this game passed away after writing the story. It was written by Mohamed Fahmy, the writer of Coffee Talk, who died in 2022. But the team have decided to finish the game in his honour. It is set in his beloved Jakarta in Indonesia. It looks like there's some exploration, some record stores to look around, some eateries and restaurants, the streets of Jakarta, some rhythm game elements as the protagonist is in a band, some dialogue, and something of a ghost story, perhaps. There's a demo of that one on Steam now if you would like to try it out. That's Afterlove EP. And one of the most distinctive and interesting looking games, at least visually, of the whole day was Phoenix Springs by Caligram. This is a hand-drawn mystery game that's been in development for 7 years, but it has an unbelievable art style, so you can see that they've been really working on the look of this game. I haven't seen anything that looks quite like it, actually. It's painterly, pastely, with wavy calligraphic ink lines that dance as you move, blocks of colour that are somehow both searing to look at, and have a downbeat, dour kind of vibe, like something's wrong. And in this game, you play as a reporter who is exploring a desert oasis. The gameplay is that it's like a modern point-and-click adventure, apparently, but rather than object puzzles, it's using logic puzzles and language puzzles and clues. So you get like a little codex that puts together concepts you've discovered, like names, addresses, and so forth. And I found the way this was presented on screen a little concerning, actually. There was like a text log that just had a lot of jumbled stuff together, jumbled little texts, like Amrita Thomas, a name, 17 Tiara Street, the concept of bioethics. And how all this reads in terms of puzzles, I think will be absolutely key to this game. So I have some reservations on the gameplay here. I'm wondering if you're going to end up with like 30 texts and you're just going to end up trial and erroring them onto things to try and make them work. I would hate for that to be the case because this game looks incredible. But I'm hoping for the best with it, you know. It's called Phoenix Springs. And finally, in Day of the Devs, we saw Tides of Tomorrow. This is a new game from the developers of Road 96. That was a really cool branching paths game in which you play as a refugee trying to cross a border to safety. And the interesting thing about it was that it had an extremely divergent narrative. So depending on the choices that you made, all kinds of shit could happen. This looks like a game with a similar framework, an underpinning of a choice-based narrative, but in a very different setting. This one seems to be in a hedonistic gangster-run place called Pleasureland that had maybe Cyberpunk 2077 vibes, like a slum crossed with a theme park, crossed with a red light district. I liked what they were going for with this one. It looks like you make choices right from the off in how you respond to the people around you, what kind of relationship you form or do not form with the local gang lord. It looked like there might be some time looping in here and a central mystery too. Interesting one. I'll be watching that with interest. That is Tides of Tomorrow. Just going to rattle through the Devolver showcase quickly as well. I do like that Devolver, they try something different with their showcases. You know, they actually write. They've had some sort of conceptual edgelord comedy. They've invented like a fictional mascot called Volvi, who is apparently back from the dead for this one. But I will say that after watching hours of trailers and scrubbing through so much footage, my patience for the shtick was low, so I skipped across the actual plot of whatever they were doing was, and just looked at the games. A few things in here. We're getting a substantial Cult of the Lamb DLC. There was a game called Tanjetsu, a top-down pixel art fighter from one of the Dead Cells creators. Talos Principle 2 is getting a huge DLC, a three-part DLC with interlocking stories, which I know fans will be pleased about. And we got a release date for Angerfoot, the first-person kicker. That's coming out on July the 11th. I've tried the demo of that one, a really fun game with a pumping soundtrack and a Hotline Miami-style room-clearing kind of thing. The big one was probably Processors, which we had already seen. Keely actually screened the same trailer that was in the Devolver Showcase. That was the Heart Machine game, so a bit of a nothingy show from Devolver here as well, actually. But overall, you know, lots of good stuff in there. I've pulled out my top five here. I think my top five most anticipated games from 5 to 1. Number 5, Battlesuit Aces. Very excited to see what Trinket is doing next. Number 4, Cairn. Another climbing game from France. I'm in. Number 3, Phoenix Springs. That art style was just screaming quality. I can't wait to see more of it. Number 2, Wonder Stop, the Davy Redden joint. I'm really curious to see what's happening there. And number 1, Neva. It just looks incredible. It was lovely to see gameplay of that one. That art style is incredible, and I can't wait to play it. So those are my personal highlights from Summer Games Fest 2024 and Day of the Devs. So there we have it. I hope you enjoyed that episode. We jumped around a lot there. It was a little bit bitty just by nature, but I hope that you were interested to hear about those games. If you had games that you think should have been on my list, then please do hit me up. It's at Gaming in the Wild on Twitter is the main place. You can also find me on Instagram, Facebook, elsewhere. Really appreciate it. If you're listening on Spotify, I would love it if you would drop a star rating on the podcast. We're getting more and more reviews, and I think it helps people to find the show. I love seeing that number go up. So if you're on Spotify, that would be great. If you're on iTunes, you can drop a star rating too. Helps people find the show. There is also the Patreon. If you become a patron for $1 a month or more, you get access to the patron-only Discord, which is the best place on the internet to talk about games, no question. A quiet, lovely corner of the internet. We have a very long thread going about 1,000 times resist, and we're still swapping plot theories and saying hecky grace and hair-to-hair to each other. You also do get bonus episodes too. I think there are now 13 or so. And if you were at all interested in Magic Mind, the sponsor of the show, that was magicmind.com to get some mental performance shots. I'm not sure how they're measuring who comes from this show exactly, but do go and check them out. I really appreciate the sponsorship. It helps everything along. There are still more showcases to come. There is an Xbox showcase. There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on. Also, Steam Next Fest is about to kick off. So I think next week we'll have more news and we might have a Steam Next Fest roundup as well. But that's it for this week, so until then, take care of yourselves and each other, and bye-bye for now.